Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, which is done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Jesus Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with his commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for what you're saying to us today. And we pray that you'd continue, Lord, to help us understand what it means for us. That, Lord, we would be able to live it out and be the people you've called us to be. That we would know in our hearts, both individually and collectively, what you are calling us to step into in who we are and how we relate to each other. For your glory, for your purpose, Lord, to build us up in your kingdom, we pray. Amen. So, unity. This is one of those easy topics, isn't it? Fun. Well, the church in Ephesus had a real problem with unity. To be honest, so did most of the churches in the early church. And if we're real and honest with ourselves, so does the church in Reading and across the whole of the UK today. Although things have developed, we have greater theology, we have lots of books and other bits and pieces of Christian stuff that has happened over the centuries to help us, we still, in essence, are human beings who struggle and wrestle to be in loving unity with one another before God. Divisions were a major problem for the Ephesians, and they still make church life painful and often damaging when they occur today. And so this is a really important and a very appropriate topic for us to be looking at as a church family. What does it mean for us? So first of all, divisions and difference. There are many ways in which walls are built up, barriers occur between us as Christian brothers and sisters. In Ephesus itself, there were lots of different factions culturally. The mindset of the town, the city, was one of segregation and also of hierarchy. The Romans, of course, were the top of the top. They were the strongest, the most prominent members of society. Being a Roman citizen marked you out. You had more rights, more power, more authority than any ordinary Greek of Ephesus. Money also played a big part in the division of society. Those who are wealthy enough to buy position, to buy houses, to buy other things. Education, you could buy that too. But those who were educated were highly regarded because of the Greek emphasis on wisdom. The culture was also divided up into slaves and free people. But even within the slave community, there were divisions. Those who belonged to a certain prominent wealthy person were more important than those who belonged to somebody less wealthy and prominent. Those who had been in that person's ownership for longer had greater position or authority. But slaves themselves, within society, of course, were seen as non-people, often overlooked, and that was their best and position. Ephesus was a place of great diversity and segregation. Even faith and spirituality. I think the first couple of things there, Greg, hierarchy within society, the spiritual superiority. The Greeks and the Romans both shared many of the same gods. They worshipped in slightly different ways, and it looked different in their home life. But that sense of kind of Artemis was something that gathered them all together, a little bit like a football club. When I think about unity, do you know what? The church is not a great example, but football clubs really are. When people put on their hats and their scarves and they go and they cheer their team, there is no division amongst them, is there? They just care about whether or not their team wins. They might have different opinions about who played well, who played badly, what this person should have done, what the ref... No. You can tell I know a lot about football, can't you? But they are united. There aren't really very many divisions among the supporters of the team. The church was not like that. The city of Ephesus, the Jews were incredibly separate. They separated out their lifestyle because they needed to eat kosher food, because they didn't do lots of the things that the Greeks and the Romans did. They didn't worship idols. They didn't do that. And so they were very separate in the way that they lived, but still within the community in business and trade and other things. Generally, there's this religious tolerance and acceptance of all religious beliefs in the main. And so faith and spirituality became a side issue, like perhaps your fashion choice or your favourite food. But also they did, those spiritual choices and decisions, or what family you were born into, marked you out in a position within the social structures of the city. And what that meant was that the church was heavily influenced by that mindset. Churches everywhere had problems with this. It wasn't just Ephesus. In Corinth, the church family met together for meals, and the wealthy members of society ate separately from the poorer members of society. And Paul writes to them and says, stop doing that. Be united. In Jerusalem, again, James, he writes a letter to say to them, stop being shown favoritism. You welcome and make a big deal about the powerful, influential members of the church, and you overlook or ignore the people who come in who are just ordinary. In Galatia, Paul writes to a whole range of churches across the region, encouraging them to understand and practice what Jesus says. Sorry, Greg, in the next couple as well. That there was no Jew or Gentile, no male or female, no slave or free, because they were all one in Christ. It didn't matter about their religious, spiritual differences. What mattered was that they were together, united, equal in Christ. They had all been saved by Jesus. And that meant that all of those barriers, all of those divisions were removed. In Ephesus itself, there was less of a problem between male and female because the city itself centered around the worship of a female goddess, and that raised the profile of women in Ephesus. But in this church, there were those specific problems, particularly between the Jews and the Gentiles, those non-Jews who had come to believe in Jesus. The Jews called themselves the circumcision. I see lots of gentlemen with their legs crossed. And they called the people who were non-Jewish the the uncircumcised. And this caused a massive division between the two sections of the church. There were some Jews who believed that if you followed Jesus, you should therefore become Jewish. Eat kosher food, follow all the other laws, even be circumcised as an adult. Even more of you are looking uncomfortable. These Jewish believers looked down on the Greek and Roman members of the church because they weren't Jewish. There was this sense of superiority. They deemed these other Christians to be of a lower standing before God. Paul is very clear and emphatic with the church. Divisions are not the character or practice that Jesus desires for his bride, the church. This is true for us today. In Reading and across the UK, we have a church which is full of division. Our differing interpretations of what the Bible says, whether or not women should be in leadership, homosexuality, the practice of infant baptism, or the use of Holy Spirit gifts. There are many more. These differences cause division within God's church. Even within one denomination, there can be divisions and breakdown of relationship. In the Church of England, wealthy, larger churches are often seen to be greedy and selfish. Poorer churches struggling to do all that they can to maintain basic repairs, which they're not able to fix because they can't grow, because the larger churches draw people away, and this creates animosity. We seem to have moved past the worst of our divisions about racial difference. But actually, still, there's some of that within the church today as well. Our human nature is not all that different. As human beings, we default to hierarchy. And we can be so sure that we are right, that we put up barriers between ourselves and others who love Jesus, who've chosen to live for him, but are different than we are. And when we do that, we hurt the body of Christ. We hurt the church more broadly. And we can become like those Jews in Ephesus who loved Jesus but had a spiritual superiority. We become like Pharisees who judge others and think that we've got it all right. Divisions do not honour Jesus. And we need to name them and own them and be aware of them in order that we can invite Jesus into them so that he can break them down and pull them apart. So Paul goes on to say, it's Jesus who makes peace. He makes peace between Jews and Gentiles. And he calls his church to be people who will be peacemakers. We have to choose to love, even where there are differences or divisions. Love first, difference second. Paul says, Jesus himself has destroyed this barrier. The Jew and the Gentile are no longer separate. Jesus has made peace with both in order that together we would be a new humanity. We would be a new race. Doesn't matter what colour our skin is. We are a race who love Jesus, are redeemed by Jesus, and seek to follow him with our lives. We are all people who live under grace. Without hierarchy, no one is more important than the other. Jesus makes peace. He brings equality by taking divisions and difference with himself to the cross. He breaks their power. He has sacrificed himself a perfect life laid down for our imperfections, including our divisions and our struggle with them. On the cross, every wall of division, every bit of hostility has been broken. The barriers of I'm right and you're wrong, they are removed by grace. The divisions of I'm more important, you are less important. The separation that says, I'm not good enough. Other people are better than me. They live a better Christian life than me. They're doing more in the life of the church than me. I'm not good enough. Jesus abolished that in his body on the cross. There is no dividing wall for those who love Jesus. He grants access to our Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit to every single person who believes in him. Everyone who would take up their cross and follow him. Hermione, it's gorgeous. There is no dividing wall. Everyone is equal. So this is the truth that Paul speaks over our church today. But we're still human beings, aren't we? Or at least I am. In our humanity, we still seek ways to put those walls back up again. It is a real struggle because it's our human default position. We are different. We will not all agree on theology or the interpretation of Scripture or the way in which we should worship God or practice our faith. Every single one of us will do it differently because God has made us unique. He doesn't ask us to be uniform. He doesn't ask us all to be exactly the same. That would be very boring. A whole church full of Christies. I'm not sure we could cope with it. A whole church full of Ren Browns. God hasn't called us to suddenly leave behind our individuality in order to become exactly the same. He's called us to be different, but to choose love where our differences create divisions or problems. It is our choice to either let our differences, our upsets, our hurts, our anything, create a barrier, or to choose to love, even above being right. The church has a reputation and a history in the world for being divided. Many wars, many battles, even some recently. We only need to look across a bit of the ocean to Ireland to see that Catholics and Protestants who love Jesus fight each other. Extremists letting their division be more important than the love Jesus commands us to live by and the common ground that they do share. It's easy when we're looking at something big like that to see those walls and those barriers and to see that God doesn't want them to be like that. But what about us? In our smaller, less obvious differences. The ones in our hearts, perhaps we don't ever speak out loud, but in our hearts, we allow difficulties, difference to turn into, well, they just don't understand the Bible properly. Or, well, I'm just not going to speak to them anymore because I'm right and they're wrong. Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. He calls us to allow him to break down those barriers, the big obvious ones and the little ones, the seeds in our hearts. Jesus instructs us, love one another as I have loved you. And that means often loving before being right. So, what happens then if we do become a church that's really united? Well, unity, Paul tells the Ephesians and he tells us, unity is about God building us as united people into his holy temple. Paul instructs the Ephesians to consider themselves fellow citizens of heaven, members of God's household. Now that word citizen carried a lot of weight for the Ephesians because in that culture, being a Roman citizen meant you had more rights, more power, more authority. It put you right at the very top. Higher status, protection in the judicial system, the freedom to travel wherever you wanted. Paul is saying that every member of the church is now a citizen of heaven. No one can be more or less a citizen of a country. Have you noticed that? You either are a citizen or you're not. Once you are a citizen, you are afforded all of the benefits of citizenship. There is equality in that status. And so for us, as we think about what it means, we are citizens of heaven. It's an equal citizenship, an eternal identity. And the same for the phrase he uses, the members of God's household. Remember that slaves of one household were perhaps afforded more security or more status because of who they belonged to. Paul is saying that God's household now includes all of the people of the church in Ephesus. He offers every single believer the same inclusion and the same protection. Now, this isn't to say that unity is about feeling safe or feeling loved or having a new identity and being really secure in ourselves. Paul goes on to explain that the foundations of the prophets from the Old Testament who heard God speak about the Messiah and what the Messiah would do, the apostles who saw Jesus with their own eyes and have gone on to share and to spread Jesus' teachings, these foundations are now being built on by all who will continue to do the same. Whether they are Jewish or Gentile, male or female, wealthy or poor, educated or worldly wise. God is interested in every single person. Each one of us with our own unique ability to contribute to the life of the church and to contribute to the unity of the church. God is interested in our willingness to choose love instead of barriers. When we do that, when we let go of the differences, when we choose to love first, that doesn't mean that we stop talking about our differences. But when we have a conversation that's foundation is love, then those differences don't break us apart. Jesus is the cornerstone of his church, and he models for us what this means. He took people that the Jewish authorities would have rejected without a second glance. He made his disciples out of fishermen, zealots. They were the ones who kind of went around fighting the Romans secretly. Tax collectors, those collaborators. Jesus took people that were not acceptable. There were people who, even within those 12, there would be massive divisions. But he also managed somehow to draw in the wealthy and influential, the important. Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, two people who were on the Jewish council. Joanna, the wife of Chusa, was one of the women who followed Jesus around. She was a wealthy woman. Her husband was one of the stewards in Herod's palace. Somehow Jesus made all of these people from very different backgrounds and very different life experience and spiritual status. He made all of them feel comfortable and loved. No one ever felt that they were less important to Jesus than the next person. He didn't look down on them, and he never put a barrier up between him and them. Jesus is the cornerstone of our building of church, then we need to take his example to heart, building our personal lives and our corporate life together. We need to let go of our human need to put up walls and barriers. We need to talk about our differences after we've got to that point where we know that we really and truly love each other. Unity, not uniformity. We will be different. We will disagree. Let's engage with that. But let's do so without prejudice, without thinking that we are right and the other person is wrong all of the time. Let's be humble. Let's be gracious. And the more that we love people who are different than us, the more God can raise up his church. What is the purpose of a temple? A holy temple. A holy temple is a place where God dwells. He wants to live among us. He works powerfully, his presence through the Holy Spirit, in the unity and equality of the church. As we live this out, we will find the Holy Spirit more able to be present and powerfully at work. We will see him do his most awesome work amongst us. And so let's choose today to be people who will love first. Let's take a moment in the rest of our busyness today to sit quietly with God and to ask him to search our hearts and show us where we, each of us, I've done it, you've done it. It's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that judgmentally. I'm just saying this is humanly. We have all put up barriers in our hearts. Places where we've experienced hurt and put up a barrier to others. Where we've been made to feel less of a Christian, or where we've perhaps thought, well, they just don't know because they haven't studied the Bible as much. We will all have experience of both sides of those things, and God wants to bring healing to those hurts and move us on into the open, spacious places. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to heal us where we need healing and for him to break down the walls we've built up where they need to be removed. That by the Holy Spirit we would be filled again with the love of Christ, a love that is able to come alongside anyone and make them feel like they're part of the family. We're going to respond in the words of the song, Spirit Break Out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. Let's use this song now as a prayer, a response prayer, a declaration, a prayer request, a truth. We want the Holy Spirit to break down all walls of division among us and to build us up in love so that he can be more present and do more of his work amongst us.